This is N2EO, November 2 Echo Oscar. Dick said he wouldn't be able to make it tonight. He might make it later on. Standing by for Mel, K2KEY, N2EO. You there, Mel?
Yeah, just made it.
A
little like myself. Okay, good evening all. This is K2KEY, and this is TechNet here on Limark. So it's open to anyone. If you've got anything you'd like to discuss in the realm of amateur radio, computers, space, satellite, you name it, as long as it, of course, is associated with General Electronics and things of that sort, that's interesting to amateur radio. Can't sell you a used car or your refrigerator, buy a refrigerator on there. This is TechNet, so keep it within the realm of amateur radio, and, emails expressing that we've gotten off on a tangent at some time and discussed things that may be political and all that's not fitting actually in the realm of amateur radio. So, with that, who would like to check in besides N2EO? Do we have any other check-ins to check that? This is K2KY. My name is Mel. Mike Echo Lima. I'm in Brooklyn, New York, and we're listening.
N2EO got a question. Mel, just
KC2QYW, name is Joe, and just listening for the time being. How are you guys doing out there?
Okay, so far I got N2EO Rich. What do you think this KC2QYW show? Just listening. Anybody else?
Hero Foxtrot 2, Tango Papa, Rick.
Okay, Rick, can we help you with something?
Just listening, thank you.
Thank you for listening, Rick. Later on, something you would like to add, of course, feel free to jump in. Anyone else?
KB1OQD, Bob, yes.
Okay, Bob, thank you, and you got it again. Okay. Thank you. Right, anybody else?
So I have a question with the support of that listener.
Thank you. Okay, KC2 Mike, something, I think it may have been a problem something. I'm not sure, it's a little choppy, so you want to give us a repeat on that? Your name, please.
KC2 Mike,
okay, it's a little choppy in tune, the repeater. I got a mic box truck, but that's it. I didn't get the name at all, so, was that a yes or a no, over?
That was a
no. Okay, let me see if I can pull your call through, let me make it official. Give me a call a couple of times. I got KC2 mic, and then the box truck. What am I missing, over?
Call is KC2.
Foxtrot, that's the Mike Zulu Foxtrot, and is that correct? Over. I assume it's correct. All right, can we get your handle? Okay, anybody else would like to join us here? Okay, let's start with this. Rich, tell us, how are you? How are you feeling? And I never asked how Jingles is doing with my cat is right here. It's right here. That's H-U-C-A-T. She's very curious. But all kidding aside, first of all, I want to wish everybody that you observe the holiday, Passover, Easter, whatever it is, a great Easter, Passover, Easter. And with that, we'll turn it over to Rich and to EO. Go ahead.
Okay, now, KC8-1, and that's N2EO. Well, I'm doing okay now. I'm still busy. I still have that busy at Vertigo. It's just about here. I got April 24th.
My birthday last year was Tuesday. So, I'm going to more doctors to see what's going on. My question, now, I spoke to Dick earlier today, in Hilton. I have an Ameritron AL-1500. It's a linear amplifier using a single tube. The chassis is used six different amplifiers, one of which uses a pair of 3500. This uses a single 8877. And there's room for a second tube. I queried Ameritron on it. They won't sell me. They sold me the part. They give no information. It's pretty straightforward because they don't guarantee it. But the tube is on order. The second socket is in. And I've got the original tube working in the new socket. So I know that socket is right. And I have to put a bigger filament transformer in, which is sitting here. Supply filament current of 30 amps. It's 5 volts to 2 tubes. My question, now, if I understood Dick right, I might have gotten them backwards. I'm wanting a big plate. The plate of heat is going to be half with 2 tubes. Dick seemed to feel that the plate network would have be enough, there would be enough range. I think he said the loading would increase, which, in other words, decrease capacitor, and the plate tuning capacitor would increase in value. And if that's the case, there's plenty of range. If the plate tuning is going to advance to the left, which is more capacitance, and the loading is going to advance to the right, which is less capacitance, it should come in. But my question is, with 2 tubes and grounded grid driving the cathodes, do you think there's any possibility I might turn this thing into a big oscillator? I hope not. And the other question is, the grids can only take 15 watts of dissipation. What they have in there is a trip circuit that if it goes over 175 mils, of grid current, it'll trip the relay and bypass the amplifier. Now, Ameritron sent me a shunt resistor to and a new meter, so it reads from 0 to 400 instead of 0 to 200 mils. They told me to bridge the original shunt with a identical shunt, so it'll read, you know, twice the current on the new scale meter, which is 0 to 400 mils. But I'm wondering, Mel, it's going to be seeing the total current of 2 grids. In other words, it'll only go into overload, assuming both grids draw the same current, which they should. I don't know if there's a problem there or not, or possibly I should put a trip circuit on each individual grid, because the tubes are quite expensive. K2KEY N2EO.
Okay, you asked a number of questions. We can take one at a time, N2EO. K2KEY. As far as length to people go, what you're going to see possibly is most likely, yes, we'll have somewhat of more of a difference in tuning, but it shouldn't have really any really effect that you won't have enough range. I doubt if you'll have to do any kind of padding or anything like that. The only place that you may run into difficulty is maybe on 10 meters. However, a question I will ask you, I'm trying to picture, I know basically the amplifiers, I know that tube, I've worked with those tubes, of course. The point is that AL-1500, does that have a tube input, Rich, over?
Yes, it does, Mel. I think the tube input will make it, because I tried locking one of the slugs, and the Q is pretty, you know, in other words, if you turn the slug, it doesn't take much to get out of the dip in the SWR. So I have a feeling those slugs will come right in.
OK. Okay, okay, very good. Because the only reason I ask for a tuned input, with a tuned input, the chances of oscillation is minimized. And what I think what you were worried about is oscillation, crystal-plate oscillation, in other words, the amplifier should take off. Basically, what you will do in that amplifier is if you tie the two, when you tie the two plates together and load it, you must heavy load it. This is what I'm going to tell you. It must be very heavy loaded. Do not make it black loaded. In other words, make it so that good heavy loading rigid. That will prevent any oscillation also. The other point that you will worry about, you're worried about the grid damaging the tube from overdrive. This is most likely not going to be a problem because your tuned input is most likely going to, in effect, form enough of the Q of the circuit of the tuned input, I think, will hold it down to a point where I don't think you will be able to overdrive the tubes in that way. That's why I asked if it was a tuned input. But don't forget, make sure anything you're doing, heavy loading, Rich, over.
Oh, Roger, now I do that now. I load it up to full power and then advance just a half more, which I know gives you better linearity. But, yeah, it's driving the cathode with the DC ground. Ameritron never put any parasitic suppressors. I never saw any parasitic. You think that would change now with two tubes?
I've never seen a change of two tubes like that. No, I've done quite a bit of experimenting, not so much with that tube, but for instance, the 3CX800 series, I run one, I run a pair, and all, and they're very similar in that type of design of ceramic tubes. I haven't seen anything like that as long as you observe a few precautions. And I could say, besides heavy loading to input, and basically they're pretty good at self. In fact, they're very good at self neutralizing. So I've never really run across any kind of self oscillation to speak of, except like I say, there have been people that have told me they have experienced some problem on tension with a number of the amplifiers that run a pair of tubes in the final of the ceramic type of tubes that you were mentioning, such as the your type, the 1500, 3CX 1500 series, the 1000, the 800, and all. It's been always some talk about it, but I think now the more modern tubes are pretty good, Rich, because I haven't heard anything. I haven't experienced anything as myself over.
Okay, I'll just add to this and then go on to the next caller. When I load it up, say, on 10 meters, 15 meters, where it's going to be more critical, is there anything I should look for? You know what I'm afraid of is hearing, having the grid need to go clink, the plate need to go clink all the way over, and the thing go dead. Because I don't know if you're aware of it, those tubes are 800
Well, I'm very aware of what you use the word. We salary into a tube today. The only thing I would tell you to do, for the first time loading on, say, 10 meters especially, I only say first time because after you do achieve, you know, you map it off, you know, mark it all off, chart it. Say the right word, chart it, you know, marking it on your dial where it is so you don't go roping around each time. Reduce your drive down. If you can reduce your drive down, just bring it up slowly. I could say keep bringing it up slowly, but making sure that each time you heavy load it, Rich, over.
Okay, now, well, should I leave the loading where it is now, which is the last time I used it, on, say, 80 meters, because I'll load it up there first. The 10-6 Omni 7 has a front panel display of wattage and a watt meter, so I can go anywhere from 5 watts to 100 watts and bring it up slowly.
Roger. Well, I use the scope. That's it. I found the best thing I have is I have a station monitor scope that I can monitor anything in the way of RF in the chat, whichever radio, amplifier, whatever. And I find that with the scope I can no doubt see more visually what's happening bit by bit as I'm loading the amplifier on, you know, for the first time with different bands. As far as what you've got now on 75 meters, I don't think you're going to see anything, you know, spectacularly different. It gets more critical as you go up in frequency. This is what I found. In fact, I had to do some manipulation around on one of my amplifiers. The one amplifier has, which is very flexible because it uses, as the tuning system uses a rotary inductor and vacuum capacitor. But that one is very easily tunable. Because it's, like I say, it's not depending on cap coil in the final. So in that case, you know, it's a different situation. But it only seems like the same. The critical situation really comes in when you start fooling with the top band of the amplifier, which is 10 meters. I should say the high frequency of the amplifier is 10 meters. You find it gets a little ticklish, so you got to use a little caution. I should say the best way is to reduce the power. And heavy load it, bring the power up a little more, heavy load it, and work your way up until you get to the full power. But in other words, just do it slow and rocking things. Watch out for a double dip. That's the point. They have a tendency sometimes to be sort of like a double dip. That indicates that the amplifier is, you've got to then many times just re-manipulate your controls, rocking one control to the other over.
A double dip, would that indicate that the thing is hogging on one side?
Exactly. Exactly. The double dip many times shows you that that's slight imbalance. You're most likely not going to run into it, but I've seen it in the imbalance of the two tubes. So what you have to do is find the heavy dip. In other words, one is sort of like, looks like a soft dip, and the other one looks like a heavy dip over.
Okay, well, very good. Well, I guess, you know, I don't see any problems. I guess you don't at this point. I've got the new socket in with the finger top to the grid ring. All that's in, the chimney's in. I have the old tube in the new socket, one tube, and I power tested it. I used some paper towel to plug up the hole in the original socket so there's no air leak from the cooling chamber. And so far, everything seems to be working. At this point, all I have to do is change the filament transformer to a 30-amp transformer, and I guess everything is ready to go on that tube gun next week.
Roger. Now, you did everything right. I was going to say make sure it should be placed, of course, and all, and that's it. And make sure that the you get good seal for where the socket hooked up to the air. You want as much pressure going up through the tube spin and, you know, exiting the chimney. What I have done, I found the amplifier runs very hot. That I found that seems to be a problem. The only one that doesn't run reasonable is the Collins, because they've got a humongous blower in the base in the power supply, which is a separate piece, the KWS-1, and it's 175 pounds of power supply with a big blower in there, and it's ducted up there through a pipe through a 2-inch flexible hole. So that one, no airflow problem, plenty of airflow, runs nice and reasonable. But the other one, my homebrew, I did put a blower in on the back there, it was the mission I thought, because I was, you know, looking for something quiet, of course, because the fans want to call quiet check. And, but the airflow, the hospital was hot. And the only way what I did with that, I added a muffin fan above it. Believe it or not, I got another muffin fan sucking more air upward. And that has gone a long way to keep things somewhat under control. I suggested to a couple of people, they thanked me very much, that extra airflow has helped cool down the amplifier somewhat over.
Okay, now I'm going to hit you with this, and then you can go on to the next station. First of all, I wonder if you've ever worked on the AL-1500. Maybe you have. But it has a three-speed blower. As supplied by Ameritron, they have it on the lowest speed. Now, normally they tell you for a single two, if you're going to run it on sideband or CW, which I'm doing, low speed, where it's supplied, is fine. If you're going to run reading, then you'd want to go to medium speed, possibly high. You think I ought to increase it from low to medium with the two tubes to get more cubic feet per minute? I mean, the cabinet gets not hot with a single tube on CW or sideband for a period of time or key down tuning. It'll get moderately warm, not quite hot. What do you think?
Definitely. The more airflow, the better, I found. I don't know. Are you planning on doing anything with RTGY or flow scan with it over?
Negative.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So try medium. I would say watch your ambient temperature and that thing. It can become hot. You got to remember one thing: the dissipation of heat is hundreds and hundreds of watts. Picture a lamp in a projector that is dissipating somewhere around 400 or 500 watts, and you get an idea, you know, how much air you've got to blow out there, how much hot air you've got to move. So if I had my druthers like I used to, I did have one for water cooling system. I did build an amplifier one for the water cooling system, vapor cooling, and it was the best. The only problem is it's a problem with pumping water and everything like that. That's a whole other story. But I found that the more airflow, the better. That's why I did add. And that blower is going at a pretty good rate. But I found that it was getting kind of hot. Maybe because I'm too much of a rag chewer and I get going and I don't have to get to where I am. But I added that extra fan, that muffin fan, the 4-inch muffin fan up on top to my vent where to pull the air. The warm air out, and it helps to move the air, because there is some restriction, you know, with the airflow through the fins and the chimney, Rich. So, first of all, see what you're doing there as far as the airflow, but if you're not sure it's getting enough, always raise it. You can't be wrong by adding more over.
Roger, Mel. Well, look, it's 8:29, and then start at 8 o'clock. We've been on here about 26 minutes, so pick up the next station. I want to thank you. I will get back to you after next week. If you see a fireball in the hall with and a big boom from White Stone, you'll know something happened that wasn't too good. Back to you, Mel. Just kidding, of course. Take the TY and group to the CEO.
No problem there. I've run a number of big amps all the time. I've got food up the shack right now, and they don't explode or anything like that. If you just use average precaution, and that's it. Just, of course, be careful, you know. Don't do anything with the lid open. if you do, watch where you put your hand. That's the whole thing. I've observed a couple of times something people doing, and I said to myself, oh my God. But it's a situation. Remember what you're dealing with there. So I'm sure you'll take precautions. I'm sure you're not new to the hobby or new to electronics and all. But again, safety, amplifiers. Okay, thank you, Rich, and we'll be interested to hear how you make out when you put this thing through.
Okay, Mel.
All right, the next one that signed in that has been questioning was KB1. OQT, Bob, how can we help you, over?
Good evening, Mel. Happy holidays and everybody on the net. And Richie, make sure you got a fire extinguisher nearby. Make sure it's a CO one and not a powder one. You don't want to make a mess. Anyway, yeah, the question is, Mel, on coax cable. By the way, I got a situation here where I have to make my animal portable out there in the back patio there, you know, take it down and back there. And I split a 100-foot cable in half with a coupler. So, you know, half is in the house and the other half goes out to the center there, and I got on the mat. And I'm just wondering, I think it's 100 feet the minimum run here with, you know, with the loss there, and how much loss is each time you add a coupler or something or twice in a coax cable?
Really? I would assume, Bob, you're talking about a coax cable that's on the antenna, and then you want to put a double female connector, and it's a UHF BNC or UHF type of connector or quick disconnect, or you're looking to use PL259 type, over.
Yeah, well, that's what I have now already, PL259 coupler split, you know, right here and half there, 50 feet inside the house and 50 feet outside the house, and then now. But I'm just wondering, you know, how much loss is there when you do add a coupler to it?
It's not a coupler, it's more like splicing it, okay. Nothing at all. I have measured it, I have number of times looked at it on a spectrum analyzer with a generator and everything. I want to see into a dummy load, everything terminated to the most precise measuring possibility. And I want them to see if you add connectors, what exactly happens. As long as the connectors, the PL59 that you got on the cable on each end, you have two PL59s, you're joining them together with a connector. As long as they are good quality PL259, that are solid type, not the crimp type or the twist-on type, forget about them. Don't even waste your time with them. If you're going to use connectors, good quality connectors. Good quality connectors, I put them together, and I assume this is going to be on HF. There is an absolutely no measurable difference, Bob, in adding that in and splicing it with two connectors.
Yeah, copy
of
that. Okay. All right. One quick other question here. I hear you talking to Ricky about bumper fans. I'm running a Yaesu 7800 mobile here as my base here. That's what I'm going to be using as a station. I'm going to have another one up here as a mobile. But this one has an external fan in the back running on to the heat sink there. And I have to obtain from Radio Shack another small little muffin fan. I guess it can make possibly 2.5 inches, like 2.5 inches here, and it's 12 volts there. And you were saying that, you know, the more cool air you have on things there, one, you put that underneath. When it's there, driving air up on the things there too would also keep the temperature lower on the radio when, you know, like you said, going there a lot.
Oh, yes, most definitely. In fact, I got behind my console and got a whole bunch of radios piled up more or less on the console I have. And I have been behind it in the summertime. I have a small fan that I turn on just to blow all the warm air out behind the console, so I have all the space up on. And with my radio, like what I have here right now, is one of these contenders now, and I got this actually out, which was going in the garbage pail. Somebody gave it to me, and just when I said, well, of course, it said it's not worth fixing. I thought it was a thing, so I took it apart. And the final transistor was no good. And I put a new one in, and I found it was hot at 55 watts. So I added, I salvaged one little one-inch fan that they use to cool the Pentium processor in the computers, one of these little 12-volt fans that they stick on top of the CPU. And just mounted it right on top of the heat sink. And what a difference it makes. Boy, the radio is reasonable, but what they do a lot of the heat sinks now are insufficient size. And so they use the cabinets. You'll find that the cabinets run very hot because the heat sink is part of the cabinet. Rather than isolated, it's just not sufficient heat sink. So I wound up doing that. I also have a 706, an ICOM IC706. And I also added a little one of these 1-inch fans also on the heat sink of the 706. They just run too hot. And in fact, my handy talkie, my ICOM W32 handy talkie, it also has a tendency to actually be nice and warm here for you in wintertime. But, these things today, they depend on the cabinets in many cases to cool the radio, to help keep things of the radio. And don't particularly care for this type of technology, because it's what we have to live with. So, again, as I was saying to Rich, adding airflow, making it run cooler, is not going to harm the radio in any way. In fact, it may, increase its lifespan, Bob, over.
Yeah, Roger. Yeah, well, not to mention it, the thing that I did get have is for a computer there right now on sale at Radiotech, $199. In fact, I think I'm going to grab a couple more of them just to throw them here in the little toolbox to have around. Mel, you mind if I do a quick test? Because I'm pushing here high power, 50 watts. I want to see if I can drop down to 20, and if I can still repeat it from Westchester, Connecticut line there by the airport.
Go ahead, give us a try at DF2 right now. Let's see what happens if you reduce the power. Go ahead.
All right. Still got a signal on me?
Yeah, still 100% copy. Go ahead.
Okay, maybe I'll try to drop it down just one more and see what happens there. All right, Mel, how about now?
No perfect copy. No problem, Bob. No coming in. Perfect. Again, like I say, depends on conditions. Right now, making decisions on just very favorable, but so far, so good. So, because it has that setting right now to reach this repeater. And I was just going to ask you again, the radio, that the antenna arrangement with the cable that's going to take in and out. Is that assumed it's for HF, am I correct, over?
Yeah, it's a log periodic antenna there by Elk antenna there for 2 meter and 440 there. And the reason I got it is because it's being able to, it's a small antenna, easy to break down to, also the radio. So I can fight to through this boat and the truck. And I'm looking basically all around at situations here that, I can't mount anything directly onto the house right at this time there. So, sitting on, maybe 6 foot, 1-inch pole on an old band speaker tripod.
Working real well, so can't argue with success. So, leave it be. Bob is working real well and nothing to modify or anything, so I say, leave it be. That's basically always what to do. When it works, leave it alone. Alright, anything else we can do for you, Bob?
No, that should be about it. If you hear the background noise, that's the furnace there, which is another thing I got to take care of. A wall built up around it, so I'm not getting the furnace down. No, I just want to thank you very much, Mel, for all the information there, and everybody there on the net. Appreciate the guys there out there and letting me on there. You guys have been a great help again. I said, Richie, the park things are closed. I don't want to see anything from this side of the pond there either. But anyway, 73 to everybody. We'll be ghost signing out there. KB1, OPB, we're clear and gone.
Hey, Bob, thank you for joining us. Now, Rich knows what he's doing. He's been around quite a while and had a lot of experience. He's level-headed enough to know how to handle a situation like that. I always caution the number of people that get very rambunctious. All of a sudden they become, all of a sudden technicians, because they maybe got their ham license now, maybe they've advanced to the extra, and that makes them all automatically, electronic technician. But the amplifiers, they are very unforgiving as far as high voltage goes. and they are leased. And unfortunately, I know of at least this case where both hams became silent keys because of what they were doing. So, with my bowl, so I don't want to hear anybody else get into that situation. Okay, anybody else like to ask any questions? This is K2KTY, this is the Limar, Texas.
ABM, no traffic?
Who said no traffic? Want to give me a call again, please?
It's COD, N2KTN, November 2, Kilo Delta, November. Just listening in.
Oh, okay, COD, thank you for joining. No traffic, okay. No traffic, anybody else?
KF13P, Mel, a couple weeks ago you were describing an indoor loop view for receiving. Can you give me a description of that antenna? I'd like to duplicate it.
Okay, KF2PP, I believe it is. First, start out with your name, please.
This is Rick, KF2PP. I already signed it, Mel.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yes, Mark comes in. All right, just hang on, Rick, 1 second. Just let me say hello to my daughter. I just called on the phone and just want to say a quick hi to her and wish her a happy holiday. And I'll be right back in 10 seconds. Okay, sorry for that. This is KTY. Rick has a question. I am using a receiving loop antenna in the shack for receiving signals on 75 meters. My problem with 75 meters basically is the one band of choice or the only band of HF that really has any opening now in the nighttime, especially now that we're just about sitting on the bottom of the cycle. And because my noise level is beyond reason, I am using for transmitting on 75 meters, I have a full wave loop that's 272 feet of wire stretching around four poles, fed with open wire feeders into a Johnson kilowatt matchbox coupling. Now, with that antenna, I pick up humongous amounts of noise. My noise level some nights is anywhere from 20 over F9, 25 over F9, which is what they can. Impossible to get on 75 meters where I need my friends and other people or to get on to work DX. It was an awful lot of DX, in fact, on 75 meters Friday night. So it's a lot of low band DX going on, and also, like I say, the band is only one of the bands really that have any use right now during nightfall. So I do look forward to getting on 75 meters. But I had to do something about the noise level. So I came up with this receiving loop. Now, basically, if you want to see what the loop looks like, I'll describe it, but if you're looking at the ARRL antenna handbook on the receiving loop, you will see a version of it. Picture, I made it, actually it's more of a, to make such a thing, it's more of a carpentry job than it is an electronic job. What I built is a frame out of wood. I bought wood at Home Depot. Wood is 3/4 of an inch wide by 1/4 inch thick. And it comes in 8-foot length. It's used for trimming. And I made a frame that's 3 foot on a square. Picture making a frame. 3 foot frame. 3 foot on a square. I then take this frame and I'm going to mount it now in the shape of a diamond, of a baseball diamond, picture home plate at the bottom. And you're going to stretch this coax cable around it. The coax cable terminates on the bottom with a tuning condenser that you can use from the south from a broadcast radio. And it's known as a shielded loop, or Faraday shielded loop. RFK, and then that's fed into the input of the receiver. By this method, I can take a noise level that's 20 over F9 and get it down to F5, even better, as many many times as I have an S noise level at, say, S9, 5 over. I'm down to the noise levels like S1, S2. So that's basically what I'm doing. If you'd like to really see what the Rick. If you really would like to see what the, you know, basics of the antenna, I should say book in ARRL antenna book. You'll see the receiving loop. They got one in there for 160. This time remodeled it for 75 meters. KF2TT, take flight.